We're going to finish looking at Mark chapter 5 this morning, and we've seen a series of miracles that Jesus Christ performed around Capernaum, his base, and he had power over the elements of nature, stilling the storm. He had power over the devil, exorcising a demon-possessed man. Last time we looked at his power over disease, healing a woman that's had internal bleeding. And this morning, we're going to consider his power over the greatest thing that is facing every one of us, death, what the Bible calls the last enemy. Now, you'll remember last time, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, had come to Jesus and had asked him to come to his house in order to heal his daughter. And as they were going there, this woman touched Jesus, and Jesus stopped and dealt with her and healed her. And we can imagine poor Jairus getting all fidgety because he wanted the Saviour to get to his little girl before she died. And as soon as Jesus has stopped speaking to the woman, Jairus receives the sad news. It's too late. Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? There's no point, Jairus. He can't deal with death. Nobody can. This is impossible. Now, we know what's going to happen. And Jesus says, and this is what I want us to look at this morning, some astounding words. Verse 36, he says to him, Jairus, don't be afraid. Fear not, only believe. Do some of you remember the holiday Bible club that we had a few years ago? And that verse was put up in the church hall in big letters. And it was left up there for a long time. And I was so glad of that because I would often be in a meeting like the Bible study on a Monday night and I would be feeling very afraid. And then I'd look at those words. Don't be afraid, only believe. Now, three things this morning. The first is this. Jesus Christ here, he could have said the word and healed Jairus' daughter there and then, before this woman had even come to him. But he didn't. He wanted, if I can put it like this, the delay, even though it meant her dying, so that Jairus could exercise faith and know what faith really is all about. And if we are going to become Christians, we need to do the same thing as Jairus did. Believe in Jesus Christ. Now, what is this faith? Because people talk about faith, don't they? They call religions these days faith. But this faith that Jairus is going to exercise is something very different. What is it? It's not some vague notion that I'm going to believe in something. Eric Clapton, in his autobiography, talked about struggling with alcoholism, and then he just got to his knees and he said a prayer. No, faith is something much, much more than that. What is it? Now, my first point is this. Faith, in Jesus' terms here, is something that happens when we are completely at our wits' end. Have you got there? There's a saying which says, politics is the art of the possible. That's not Christianity. Christianity is about the impossible. And faith is about believing in the God of the impossible. So let me use Jairus here as an example. Don't be afraid, Jairus. Here you are. You've got everything stacked against you. That's what faith sees. Let's not play about this morning. Faith doesn't say, it's all right. I'm somehow going to get through this. No. Faith sees impossible written against everything. Let me give you some examples from the Bible which fits into this context. When God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, he brought them to a place like Jairus here with Jesus Christ, which was a dead end, seemingly. The Egyptian army were coming from behind. There was a mountain to the left. There was another mountain much deeper to the right. They couldn't be climbed. There was the Red Sea ahead of them, and they couldn't turn anywhere. And Moses, their leader, said to them, "Stand still. You can't do it. See the salvation of God." That's where faith comes in. Everything is against us. Stop. Believe in God. What was against Jairus? Well, let me mention a few things. What's against us? We're in the same boat as Jairus, aren't we? He had witnessed Jesus healing this woman that was sick. We're living in a world that is sick. You don't have to be ill to realize that. As one is getting older, one realizes that gravity always wins. It doesn't matter how much exercise you do. Gravity is always going to have the last word. We're fighting a losing battle. We've got age against us. And as we're getting older, what this woman suffered from, terrible disease, we're one day going to suffer from something. We may know people that are sick. And who can ultimately deal with these things? We've got doctors that can help us. But in the end, this is just an impossible situation. And Jairus here, when they got to the house, and when Jesus said to the mourners, they had professional mourners. Have you ever seen professional mourners? They have them in some cultures. In India, they have professional mourners. And they make a terrible noise, wailing, not necessarily because they feel the grief, but because it's their job to do so. It can be very stressful. And when Jesus said to these professional mourners, "It's all right, the girl is only asleep," they taunted Jesus. And Jairus was probably aware of that. And you may be feeling like that. You may be standing for Jesus in school or in the family, and there's no one else there with you, and your friends and family are making fun of you. You've got that against you. This is where faith comes. Against all odds, it believes. And then what we are considering here, death. You know, when I was searching for Jesus Christ, I was a student. So if you're a student here this morning, I long that you'll find Jesus Christ if you haven't found him yet. And you know what really drove me? I didn't want religion. I hated religion. I remember being brought up going to chapel. I hated it. But I wanted to be saved from death. And I couldn't come across anything or anybody that had dealt with death until I found Jesus Christ. So this is the first thing I want to say. Faith, in Jesus' terms, is not something vague. It's something when we are up against the wall spiritually and impossible is written across every situation and we look up. That's faith. Do you enjoy this time of year? I love the autumn. And I was on the Ridgeway behind Lisvain a few days ago and it was morning, it was gloomy. You know, these autumn mornings can be dark, foggy, not very nice. And then there was a beam of sunlight that shone through the gloom. And that gave me hope. And the Bible calls this world the valley of shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, ultimately. The veil of tears, the veil of gloom. And faith sees in Jesus Christ, as the children reminded us so lovely, he is our light. Even if it's only a little beam of light, there's hope. Are you going to trust this morning? So my second point is this. What's faith then? Faith is this. Against all
impossibilities.
Faith looks to Jesus Christ. I didn't hear Mike Mellor last Sunday morning, but didn't he talk about his struggles with alcoholism? And was it when he was sitting on the toilets? He exercised faith against all the odds. He just believed in Jesus Christ. Now then, this is the question. This is what I wanted an answer to when I was wandering the streets of Aberystwyth, looking for one who could conquer death. How is it possible? Listen, it's so simple. All he did was go into the house. He asked everybody to leave, apart from the parents and three of his closest disciples. There was the girl, dead. It was a corpse. And you know what he did? He took her by the hand. Now, that's significant. Jesus was a Jew. In the Jewish religion, to touch a dead body made you unclean. And so what he did in order to raise this girl back to life was take her death upon himself. He touched death. He touched something unclean. He became unclean in that sense. But of course, this uncleanness couldn't do anything to him. There's your hope. Now, let me put it like this. Here is everything stacked against me. I don't know what the position you're facing is at this moment, but we're all having to face death, and there's impossible written over it. Who can deal with this? Only one man can, the God-man, Jesus Christ. That's who he is. He's not just an ordinary human being. He is that, but he's so much more than that. He's God in the flesh. There's hope for you. He's more than a prophet. He's more than an angel. He is God incarnate. Wonderful. And do you know what he did? He didn't just touch the sin and the death of Jairus' daughter. A few years later, he went to a cross. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And on that cross, he took our death upon himself by becoming sin for us. That's the gospel. I've got nothing else to offer you. That's what I found eventually in room 222 in Pantycelyn Hall of Residence in Aberystwyth, that he died for me, for my sin he suffered on that cross. Now, I've come across this illustration. Do you like Charles Dickens? My favorite Charles Dickens novel is A Tale of Two Cities. Do you know the story? It's about the French Revolution. And there are two main characters, Charles Darnay and Sidney Carton. And Charles Darnay, a Frenchman, happens to go back to Paris from London. And he's rich and he's caught. And he's taken to the dungeon. And he's facing death by guillotine. Horrible. Now, Sidney Carton wants to save him. So what does he do? They look the same. The night before his execution, he visits him in the dungeon. And you know what they do? They change places. Sidney Carton takes Charles Darnay's clothes, puts them on, and the prisoners think it's Charles Darnay. And then Charles Darnay puts on Sidney Carton's clothes, and he walks free. So the next morning, Sidney Carton goes under the guillotine. They think it's Charles Darnay. And Charles Darnay is free to go back again to England. Isn't that just a weak illustration of what Jesus did on the cross for us? He came not from England, but from heaven. And he came to the dungeon where we were. And he took not our clothes, but our sin. And he went to be executed. The wages of sin is death. And he bore the execution, the judgments. And we are free if we're in him. Wonderful gospel. Can I say, this is so simple. There was a preacher in Wales called John Elias, and he was a very powerful preacher, and he preached in a cottage somewhere, the same gospel. He was telling these people that Jesus died for your sin. And as he was leaving, he had to leave quite soon afterwards. He was going horse and carriage, I think, and a little girl ran after him, and she shouted, "Mr. Elias, was it for my sin that Jesus suffered so? Was it for my sin?" And you know what John Elias said? He didn't say yes. He said, "Was it for my sin that Jesus suffered so?" It's a hymn. "When moved by his all-powerful love," think of the love of Sidney Carton, "the love of Jesus is greater. Moved by it, he came to earth below. He suffered pain and death when on the hill Calvary brought low. His blood will wash the guilty clean, as pure and white as snow." Why? Listen, "for in his death, our death died with him on the tree. And a great number by his blood will go to heaven made free." Are you one of those? Do not fear. Do not fear even the impossibility of death, but believe in this one who's taken your sin death upon himself. Now, last point. I just want to help us to believe here, if I can. Fear and faith, aren't they opposites? In another place, Jesus says we should always pray, which is faith, and not faint, which is fear. I like that. I've been reading over summer about the Second World War, and I came across this true story. It happened in London during the bombing, and a father holding his small son, they escaped from their house, and they took shelter in the courtyard, and there was a crater there. So the father jumped into the crater, and then he says to his son, "Come on, son, jump down so that we can take shelter from the next bomb." And you know what the son said? "I'm scared. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't see you," says the son. "I can't see you." But the father said, "Come on, son, jump. I can see you. I can see you." And the son did it. And you know, that's what faith is. It's not a jump into the dark. It's jumping into the arms of Jesus Christ. Do you feel that you're panicking? "I'm afraid. I'm afraid, Pastor. I'm afraid. Not just of death, I'm afraid of life. I can't even cope with this world. All the things that are stacked against me. What do I do?" My friend, don't fear. Believe. Only believe. That's all you do. Cast yourself to Jesus' kind arms. He sees you. "I can't see him. It's dark. I can't see a glimmer of hope." "It's all right. I see you," he says. "I see you in your sin. I see you in your filth. I see you in your unbelief. I see you with all your fears. And you know what I'm saying? Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest." One last thing. The word here for believe, only believe, do you know what it means in the Greek? It means keep on believing, keep on believing. Isn't that good? Keep on believing. Jairus, you've trusted me. You've come to me. You've asked me to deal with your daughter. That's faith. Jairus, come all the way now. Are you a believer this morning? Have you cast your salvation into Jesus' arms? Have you done that? Keep on trusting. Keep on. Keep on. Do you know this hymn? I don't know what the situations facing you are. And when I started preaching, you know, I thought more of preaching to the ideal congregation. We preachers, we all have our ideal congregation. But as I got more experience with preaching, I realized I've got to preach to the people sitting in front of me. I know it's the obvious thing to say, And all of us, we've got problems, haven't we? We've got impossibilities facing us, even after believing in Jesus Christ. Let me say, I had more problems after coming to faith in Christ than I did before. But the wonderful thing is this, every problem drove me to Jesus' arms, and he became more precious then. So, what's your problem? You know, in the Second World War, sorry to go on about it, there was a pastor in America, in Chicago, called Tozer, and he had wives and mothers all worried about their husbands and sons who'd gone out to fight on the front line. And you know what Tozer said to them? He was a wise pastor. He said, just leave them with God. Don't try to hold on to them. You're just going to get stressed and eventually going to get ill. Just hand them to the Lord. Only believe, you see. As we believed in Jesus to save us, we hand everything over to him. There's a hymn which says, my times, as I'm getting older, my times are in thy hand. My God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my family, my soul, I leave entirely to thy care. We had a funeral here before the summer, Richard Atosky's funeral, and it was shared in the funeral, so it's all right for me to mention it. Before he died, he believed in Jesus, and the Lord gave him a vision, a lovely vision. If I've got it right, it was a ship held not in the arms, but cupped in the hands of Jesus. And he saw himself then cupped in the hands of Jesus. He was about to die. He was about to cross the ocean. And this is what comforted him. I'm cupped in the hands of Jesus. It's more safe, isn't it? When you carry eggs, he said, in your hands. You don't carry eggs in your arms. You might drop them. But when you carry them in your hands, they're safe. And we are in the hands of Jesus. Oh, my times are in thy hands. Everything is there. And then when we come to die, it'll be falling asleep. Falling asleep. My times are in thy hand. I'll always trust in thee. Will we? Keep on believing. And after death, what will happen? At thy right hand forever I will be. Falling asleep. What a relief to go to sleep after a hard day. What a greater relief to fall asleep in Jesus after the fever of this life is over. And then one day to have Jesus take us by the hand and say to us, Talitha kumi, arise from the grave, a perfect soul, a new perfect body to live in a perfect place. What a day. Will you be there? Oh, don't be afraid. Whatever the impossibility may be, only believe in the God of the impossible. And having believed, keep on believing. As we say in Welsh, we're not okay. We're dal i gredu. I'm still believing. For his name's sake. Amen.